Counsel, may it please the Court. The Fair Credit Reporting Act protects people against improper accessing of credit report information. The general rule under the statute is that there has to be a transaction or proposed transaction to which the consumer is a willing party, that the consumer has initiated. There is an exception, the firm offer of credit exception, and that has two conditions. First, there has to be a firm offer of credit. Second, there has to be a clear and conspicuous disclosure of the consumer's right not to have their credit report information accessed for this purpose in the future and how to exercise it. The material in question is at A14 of our appendix, and the disclosure that's alleged to be clear and conspicuous, it starts about two-thirds of the way down the tiny print at the bottom. The district court in this case said that that material is clear and conspicuous. Three other district courts disagreed. I submit, Your Honor, that using the accepted meaning of clear and conspicuous, that is not clear and conspicuous. It is virtually illegible. The defendant's main excuse for the size of this type is that the firm offer of credit is equally illegible. The firm offer is an alleged offer of a $300 line of credit, which is immediately preceding the tiny disclosure of your rights. That does not answer the second problem, that the statutory language is not here. What the consumer must be told is that you have a right not to have your credit accessed. What this actually says is if you prefer that your name be omitted for future offerings, you can do something. That's not what the statute requires. In addition, two wrongs don't make a right. What the Fair Credit Reporting Act prohibits and regulates is the use of credit information for marketing purposes. The vice is that this material as a whole was sent to Ms. Cole because she was selected using information from TransUnion. The determination of what is clear and conspicuous has to be with respect to the entire document, and it is not clear and conspicuous. In addition, there is no firm offer. Firm offer is not defined in the statute per se. It says that there is that a firm offer is an offer, except that the merchant may establish in advance specific criteria regarding creditworthiness, and that if upon receipt of the consumer's application and examination of a current credit report, the consumer is found to meet these predetermined criteria, the offer must be honored. Now, how does one honor a firm offer of credit? One enters into a contract for the extension of credit. Offer, under any accepted statutory construction, means something which is capable of being accepted. The tiny offer made at the bottom of this material is not capable of being accepted. It does not state how the credit is to be repaid, what the rate of interest is, or what the duration of the credit is. And the problem with that is that when you don't have something which is capable of being accepted, the statutory requirement that the offer must be honored if the predetermined criteria are met, it can't be satisfied. All the merchant has to do to not extend credit based on this vague and illegible offer is don't agree on the rate of interest, or that the credit is going to be outstanding for more than an hour, or that the credit has to be repaid in some reasonable manner. It is not an offer which will be honored if the consumer satisfies the predetermined criteria. The Federal Trade Commission interprets it the way I've suggested. The industry interprets it the way I've suggested. There is no support for suggesting, other than district court's decision, that this means anything other than an offer. Finally, the tiny size of this offer, of this alleged offer, brings us to the final flaw. That is a total and complete sham. The purpose that motivated the sending of this was that the defendant obtained from credit bureau information a list of people who were recently discharged in bankruptcy but had substantial employment. And the purpose of sending this was to get them into a car dealership and sell them a fairly expensive automobile. In order to have a veneer of compliance with the Fair Credit Reporting Act, they put in this $300 offer in literally microscopic type at the bottom. We weren't given any discovery, but I would venture to say that the record would show that there were absolutely no offers of credit of $300 that were accepted for the purpose of buying a car.
This was dismissed on 12b-6?
It was dismissed on a 12b-6 motion before we had any discovery, before any inquiry into the purpose, effect, the circumstances of this alleged offer were made. And the only offer, the only firm offer, is the $300. A statement that you might qualify for up to $19,500 is not a firm offer. It's not claimed to be a firm offer. And in fact, it's exactly what the Fair Credit Reporting Act prohibits. I cannot get at somebody's credit report information for the purpose of sending solicitation material.
So your hope was that through discovery you would be able to show that this in fact was a sham transaction.
I think that there's substantial indication of that right on the face of it. Nobody who seriously wants to enter into a $300 line of credit with somebody would put it in microscopic type. But I think that if you get into discovery, it would show that salespeople were told to switch the people to the more...
That would require, of course, on the part of the district court, and I guess at this point on the part of us, a kind of a judgment as to what really constitutes a firm offer of this industry and what would be considered a sham or a fraud, right?
I think that is required. I don't believe that the statute can legitimately be construed to say that I can pull somebody's credit report and then justify it by mailing them a microscopic offer for a dollar.
Just by recollection, Mr. Edelman, what authority is there except for the three district court cases, I think, for the Northern District of Illinois?
I believe so. That is it, Your Honor.
There's no circuit.
That is correct, Your Honor. There's quite a bit of authority on what is clear and conspicuous.
How would you feel about our asking the Federal Trade Commission to submit an amicus brief before we proceed any further?
I would have no objection to that, Your Honor. Some years ago, the Federal Trade Commission issued a staff opinion questioning whether a $250 general-purpose credit card would be sufficiently substantial to qualify. I think that $300 some 10 years later, which is usable solely for the purchase of a vehicle, does not qualify as a legitimate offer, particularly when it's made in such small type that nobody could read it. This is not the behavior of somebody who really wants to sell a $300.
Well, really, those are two different issues, though, aren't they? On the one hand, we've got the firm offer problem. On the other hand, we have the adequate disclosure problem.
That is correct, Your Honor. Thank you, Your Honor, if you have no other questions.
Thank you, Mr. Edelman. We'll hear now from Mr. Duff.
Mr. Duff, can you read that disclosure without your glasses on?
Yes, Your Honor. Yes, Your Honor, I can. And obviously, the
obviously you don't have a serious vision.
In this case, if the plaintiff hadn't been able to see where the offer was, then we wouldn't be here. Obviously, I mean, here I think the point is a very valid one. We have a firm offer of credit which is made in the same size, the same location as the disclosures at issue in this case. So, you know, here we have a firm offer of credit which is clear and conspicuous. And I think what we need to back up and look at the term firm offer of credit. It is a defined term under the Fair Credit Reporting Act. The Act defines it as any offer of credit that will be honored if the consumer is determined based on the information in the consumer report on the consumer to meet the specific criteria used to select the consumer for the offer. What the plaintiff would like to do in this case is step outside of the statutory definition of firm offer of credit. But that's not permissible. What we need to do is we need to look at what the Act provides us. And the Act says any offer of credit. And in this case, We have an offer of credit that's provided in the flyer. It says an offer of a minimum of $300 and up to $19,500. What we, you know, where there is a express statutory definition of a term, the Supreme Court tells us in Stenberg versus Carhart that we need to follow that term. So the analysis of whether or not there is a firm offer of credit here begins and ends with the language on the flyer and the language of the definition of firm offer of credit in the Act. In addition, the Act itself specifically preempts state law definitions of firm offer of credit. That's in section 1681T, subsection C, and specifically said, notwithstanding any definition of the term firm offer of credit or any equivalent term under the laws of any state, the statutory definition of firm offer of credit provided in the Act is to govern. And having a state law application would be a very difficult construct. If you had to look to the laws of the 50 states, it would defeat the legislative purpose for the Fair Credit Reporting Act of having a federal commercial regulation that has uniform application. And as the United States Supreme Court said in the Holyfield case, where if you were to use a state law definition, I think the district court made this point very well at page 7 of its opinion, that where you look to state law definitions of offer of credit, you would undermine the uniform application of the Fair Credit Reporting Act. I want to move on to the clear and conspicuous issue. And I think that the criteria that the court ought to focus on for the clear and conspicuous nature of the disclosures here are the fact that when we look at clear and conspicuous, when we think about where does that language come from, we're talking about what is required to make a disclosure clear and conspicuous. I think a lot of the genesis for that comes from our familiarity with what the UCC says, which is you ought to disclose in a clear and conspicuous manner something that's going to be used against a party. And in this instance, we're not talking about disclosures that are going to be used against the consumer. These are disclosures that benefit the consumer. So in that sense, you know, I think that we're also not looking at any term that is going to become a part of the agreement between the parties. It's not like in this instance we're going to end up with a contract between the consumer and the offerer of the firm offer of credit, where the language that's the subject of our inquiry here is not noticed by the plaintiff, and therefore is unfortunate because it's a part of their agreement, but they didn't know it was there. That's not the circumstance we're talking about here. And in fact, this is why I start out with my initial point. It is important here that the firm offer of credit is in exactly the same size font and the same font type as the disclosures that are the subject of the clear and conspicuous issue. I think it's an important distinction which wasn't made before the court a moment ago, and that is it's not that the firm offer of credit has to be clear and conspicuous. The disclosures are the ones that are the subject of the clear and conspicuous language. But when the firm offer of credit is side by side in the same block of text, neatly set out, and in the same size, I don't think that you're looking at something which is not clear and conspicuous. Because as I said, if the plaintiff here hadn't noticed the firm offer of credit, or the fact that the plaintiff noticed the firm offer of credit is, of course, why we're here. But given the fact she was able to notice it, in that instance, obviously, the firm offer of credit was clear and conspicuous to her. I think the language which caught her attention was the language that says something along the lines of, you were selected based on information in your consumer report. Well, that language, again, is exactly the same size and same font as the disclosures and the firm offer of credit. I think we ought to also, Your Honor, look at, practically speaking, if we're talking about clear and conspicuous disclosures, and if we were to require that disclosures not be looked at in their context, but rather be looked at, but rather we set a minimum type size, for instance, a minimum size, what you're going to end up with is troubling the fact that the Act does require a fair amount of information to be disclosed to the consumer. By increasing the font size, you're going to drive a lot of this information off of the front page of any flyer, such as the one that's the subject of this claim.
So would you tell me what the nature of the offer is in this first paragraph?
No, Your Honor. The firm offer of credit.
Instead, would you tell me what that is?
That is part of the advertisement, which is to that identifies for the.
Is there a recent improvement in your credit history? You've been pre-approved to participate in an exclusive offer from U.S. Capital and Jerry Gleason Schiff. This is the opportunity to receive a Visa or MasterCard with limits up to $2,000 as well as $19,500 in automotive credit.
Yes, Your Honor.
That's not an offer of credit?
That is not the offer. No, Your Honor, it's not. The offer itself comes where it
now
down...
How does that differ from the firm offer of credit later down here?
Because the firm offer of credit language says you are guaranteed a minimum of $300 in credit that you can use in connection with this offer. The language up above does not make that firm, and that's why it is not the firm offer of credit. Under the Act, I believe if we didn't have a guarantee of a minimum amount of credit, you would not. We wouldn't be standing here today. I think, Your Honor.
So, let me just, on this font and everything, you're saying that this flyer couldn't be redesigned so that the font at the teensy-tiny font at the bottom couldn't be bigger.
If you were to
and
require...
You can't get all this information on here.
I think what...
Reducing the size of the credit card or reducing the size of the capital or, you know...
I think one of the things also you recognize also is that this information comes folded up. So when we're looking at the section of the information, you know, most of the information that we're focusing on, which is in the bottom third of the sheet, once you start to expand and require a minimum font size, you're going to end up forcing that information to be dispersed in other parts of the page or to be moved onto a second sheet of paper or a backside, which, Your Honor, I would suggest that's worse. To have not the information not in one place on a flyer.
What's the language due to recent improvements in your credit history? Where did that come from?
Your Honor, I'm not sure what you're saying.
The first paragraph, the first sentence is due to recent improvements in your credit history. How do we know that? How does the advertiser know that?
Your Honor, I don't know that from... I'm assuming... That information is based on the credit score, because what we're looking at is the use of information for pre-screening purposes. And pre-screening is a permitted purpose for using consumer reports under the Fair Credit Reporting.
If you're making a firm offer of credit?
Correct, Your Honor.
If the amount had been $50, would you concede that it was really a pretext for impermissibly assessing plaintiff's credit reports?
Your Honor, I think it's difficult to draw a specific line. However, I think that one of the things that the FTC said in its letter is whether or not it's a meaningful amount of money. I think if you were to look at the use of a minimum of $300
in
credit.
In what letter?
This was part of the supplement that the court was provided by the plaintiff. There was an FTC staff letter that was supplied. And one of the comments that's made in that letter, I see that my time is expired, is whether or not it's a meaningful amount of credit. And I think that if you were to ask any consumer who's going to buy an automobile, would you like to get a minimum of another $300 that you could use towards financing? If they were looking for resources that they could apply towards the purchase of that vehicle, I think that you'd find that they would.
Why don't we ask the FTC?
Your Honor, if the court were to choose to go that route, I think it would also be in the interest of the industry to allow the industry to submit papers on that. But if the court thinks that it needs to hear from the FTC on that, of course, we understand.
They're asking us to, the parties are asking us to take a position which certainly will affect the enforcement of this statute substantially.
I think that's correct, Your Honor. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Duff. You have 1 minute, Mr. Duff.
Your Honor, the plaintiff didn't read the fine print in the bottom. As I mentioned, she had just recently been discharged in a bankruptcy. She received this and brought it to the bankruptcy attorney asking, is this serious? Why are people offering me credit when I've just been discharged? The statute defines firm offer of credit.
Especially with this line, due to recent improvements in your credit history.
Well, yes, yeah. You no longer have the other debt. And you can't discharge this anything you contract for now for 7 years, so absolutely. Your Honor, the statute defines firm offer as an offer. That's not a definition. What rate is the $300 being offered at? What length of time is it being offered for? Totally up in the air. The only, and by the way, we would be here regardless of the fine print $300. It is clearly illegal to pull somebody's credit report for the purpose of deciding whether to send them this offer. The $300 in the fine print is only there as the veneer of compliance. You cannot do this without making a firm offer. Offer means something. It has to mean what it means under contract law.
Thank you, Mr.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Our thanks to both attorneys for their fine argument, and the case will be taken under advisement.